Welcome to the Living Savior Ministries. Praise the Lord. Good to have you today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you know that when God says pray about everything, He means what He says?
Amen.
With thanksgiving, right? Yeah, I had a couple little answers to prayer this week over air conditioners. Kathy called me at 10 o'clock the other night and said her air conditioner wasn't working in her house. 10 o'clock at night. Now, what did that girl think I was going to do? Right. So I told her, I said, I'll just pray about it and I'll come check in the morning, but it's going to be okay by morning. So I prayed, and then when I got over that morning, about 7 o'clock, I told Bruce, I said, I guess we're going to have to check Kathy's air conditioner. No, he said, she already come out and told me that it wasn't working. I went over and said, it's working fine. It's running perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Right, Frank? So the rest of the week, every time I'd see her, I would say, she said, it's cool in my house. I said, praise God. And of course, my wife and daughter, our granddaughter, they've been going up to ride horses every day this week. Of course, Cheryl and Caitlin both are learning how to ride better. Cheryl, I want to let her tell the testimony. I want her and Caitlin to come up here. Well, Caitlin very rarely comes to church here, but today she's here.
Yes.
So this is my grandbaby. She usually goes with her mom and dad, which is my son and his wife, and their three children to church. But this week they've been out of town at a meet down in Corpus Christi, so she's had to hang out with grandma and granddad all week.
And so, oh, how terrible.
Go ahead, honey.
Yeah, Madison, who's 7, and Preston is 9, they both made the state meet for swimming. So they're down there in the competing in the state meet. So she could have gone, but she chose to stay with grandma and get to go ride the horse. Every morning we get up, and about 6:45, she has to go feed the dog and let the dog out to go to the bathroom. And then we leave about 7:15, and we drive to Sanger so she can ride, and I can also sometimes ride. As we left, the air conditioner completely stopped. It was blowing, but it was just blowing hot air. So we stopped at the store, and I thought, okay, if I turn it off, it's going to start again. Went in, came back. It didn't come on again. It's just blowing hot air. So we get onto the freeway coming back home. So I call Thurman and I say, honey, I said, my air conditioner's not working. And Caitlin says, nope, the air conditioner's not working. It's hot, you know, it's way hot. He said, well, let's pray. So we prayed. And then in a couple of minutes, I had to pass a truck so I could get over to my exit. And I gunned the car and passed the truck, and my air conditioner started working. Praise God.
It's been working ever since. Praise the Lord. So anyway, it's good to have Grandma and my grandbaby here with us today. Praise God. So she's a sweetheart. Praise the Lord. After this week, she'll probably be ready for Mom and Dad to be back because Grandma and Granddad have been pretty hard on her this week. Oh, man, we've had lots of fun, though. Really, we have. So she's 15 now. She's getting to be a big girl. So God is good, isn't He?
Yeah.
All the time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So anyway, Sharon, it's good to see you, girl. Now then, today, praise the Lord, we're still talking about the rules of marriage. Do y'all know there's rules in marriage?
Amen.
Lots of people don't know that. And of course, the first thing I've got to say about the rules for marriage, you need to be married. And I shared a little of this last week, but I have this kind of experience all the time. I'll run into somebody in a restaurant or whatever, and they'll be waiting on me, or whatever, you know, I mean, any kind of a business or whatever. I will say, hi. How are you doing? And they'll say, I'm fine. I say, are you a Christian? And most of the time people say, yes. Well, where do you go to church? Well, about half and half the time they say, well, I don't go to church. Or I go to whatever, you know, Cross Timbers or, you know, Denton Bible or whatever, you know. So, but sometimes they don't go at all. But I say, so you really are a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And you really do go to church? Yeah. That's good. I said, well, good. And then maybe I'll start off with a little small talk. So, do you live in the area here somewhere? Oh, yeah, I've been here 10 years, 20 years, or all my life, or whatever. And I say, anything good happened in your life lately? Oh, yeah. I just had 6 months ago, I had a baby son. You know, everything's great. I said, well, good. So, how many children do you have? 2. I said, well, good. How long have you and your husband been married? I ain't never been married. I have that all the time. And then I have to ask, well, I thought you said you were a Christian. Well, I am. I said, no, you really need to check out your life. You know, if you're having babies, you've had 2, and I said, are you still living with a guy? Yeah. I said, do you not know that sin? Well, God will forgive me. I mean, I hear this all the time, ladies and gentlemen. I hear this all the time. And I just stand in awe to think. And then people say, you know, you condemn people in the way you do that. Well, let me tell you, the Word of God says when your heart condemns you not, you know you're walking in obedience to His Word. If you're condemned by what I say from God's Word, you need to get right with God. But, you know, people always throw that thing back at you. Well, judge not lest you be judged. And I heard that a couple of times this week also. But for those of you that were here last Sunday out of 1 Corinthians 5, did God tell us we're supposed to judge those that say they're living in obedience to God's Word and they're not? He told us to judge them, didn't He? Yes, He did. In fact, another thing He said, if they refuse to change and if they're believers, we're not even to sit down and have a meal with them. Is that what He said? Most people never read that. You know, well, you're not walking in very much love. Yeah, I am loving you because if I didn't love you, I wouldn't be sharing these things with you. You know, if I didn't love you, I'd just say, well, just die and go to hell. It's okay with me. You know, I don't care. Is that the way most people do it anyway?
Yeah,
most people won't even share. They won't take time out of their day to sit down and share with people the truth. The rules for marriage is very tough, aren't they? But, you know, we don't read them often enough, so we don't know what they are. So today, for the first 16 verses in 1 Corinthians 11, I want us to see what the Scripture says about who is in authority or the head of the home. Because the Scriptures is very clear. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. He says, "And you should follow my example just as I follow Christ." Now, first of all, if Paul is saying that, and I'm saying that to you, and then I'm taking the place of Paul here, and if I'm saying, and you should follow my example. In other words, if the example I'm demonstrating does not glorify Christ, you need not to follow me. But if what I'm doing, and I'm supposedly am a Christian, should what I do glorify Christ? Absolutely, yeah. So, and I try to tell it just like he did. He says, and you should follow my example just as I follow Christ. I am so glad, dear friends, that you always keep me in your thoughts and you are following the Christian teachings I passed on to you. Now then, if we're going to get this right out of the Word of God, the example he's going to use here today, just like the one we used in 1 Corinthians 5 last week, should we do it exactly like he did? Yes, you know, so if Paul's talking to the married people or the unmarried people and they're telling him they're a Christian, but yet they're not walking in obedience to His Word, or if a man and a woman is not obeying God's Word, we should know what His Word says, and we should jump right in there and tell them, this is what God says, and this is what He said do it. Is that right?
Yes.
Now then, does that mean I may not like some of the things He said? That means I may not like some of those things, you know, because they may not fit my comfort zone. Let's go ahead and follow and see what verse 3 and 4 says. But there is one thing I want you to know. Wow, this must be very important, huh? But there is one thing, I really want you to know. A man is responsible to Christ. A woman is responsible to her husband. And Christ is responsible to God. Now, this is out of the NLT. This reads a little different than it does out of the King James. But King James is talking about head. We'll come back and read it again in a minute because I want you to see it both ways. Well, now that we're in the NLT, it says here, and this is something that many, many, many men have missed. I see men come into church wearing a hat. They have no problem wearing a hat right in the church. You know, I see men that'll pray with you. Big groups of men that I've been in, we'll have a meeting or something, we'll pray, and half the guys got their baseball caps on, or we're out playing baseball. Some men take their hat off when they pray, and some people don't, and they never heard it, though they haven't read. He says, but there is one thing I want you to know. A man is responsible to Christ, a woman is responsible to her husband, and Christ is responsible to God. A man dishonors Christ if he covers his head while praying or prophesying. Now, if a man dishonors Christ or dishonors his head, if he covers his head while praying or prophesying, should a man ever pray or prophesy with a hat on? No, he should not. I mean, according to that scripture. You know, you may say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it's okay. I'm just telling you what God says. Is that right? Now then, don't take it up with me. Don't shoot the messenger. You know, all I am is just a messenger. If you don't like it, then take it up with the Lord. But I got a feeling since he's put it in concrete, he ain't going to change it. I don't think he's going to change for you or me. Frank, do you?
I think he expects us to change.
Oh. Hey, I think that's absolutely right. That is a good one. I think very much that Frank brought that up. God expects me and you to conform to his ways. You're absolutely right, Frank. That is absolutely the way it is. But a man dishonors Christ if he covers his head while praying or prophesying. So if you've never heard that before, in fact, let me just ask this question. How many of you men that are in here today, or maybe women too, had never heard that a man's not supposed to cover his head when he prays? Anybody? A few? Okay. Now then, let's see what verse 5 and 6 says. It says, but a woman dishonors her husband if she prays or prophesies without a covering on her head, for this is the same as shaving her head. Now, the woman, it says here, yes, if she refuses to wear a head covering, she should cut all her hair, and since it is shameful for a woman to have her hair cut or her head shaved, then she should wear a covering. Well, let's see what the next verse says in verse 7. But a man should not wear anything on his head when worshiping, for man is God's glory, made in God's own image, but woman is the glory of man, for the first man didn't come from woman, but the first woman came from man. And that's the way it was, verse 9 and 10. And man was not made for woman's benefit, but woman was made for man. Now, I'm telling you what, there's very few women, even in the church, that understands what they were made for. But the woman outside the church surely does not have a clue who she was made for. God made the woman for one purpose, to take care of one man. Now then, I was talking to a man the other day, and he said, you know, I had a very rude awakening as I grew up and got married. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when I was little, he said, my dad and my mother got a divorce at a very young age. And he said, I had no mother example for several years. And then my dad met another woman. And then he married this woman and said, when dad started bringing her home, he says, I never had any example of a mother or a wife in the home. But said, when my dad married this woman, said, man, she was always gentle to him. I said, if she had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work early, she was up fixing his breakfast, making his lunch. She would follow him out to the car. She would put him in the car, close the door for him, reach in through the window and give him a couple of kisses, put her arm around him. Said in the evening, whenever my dad would come home, she would hear the car coming. She'd be having supper already prepared. She'd run out there, and the first thing you do is you jerk the door open and put her arms around and give him a kiss and tell her how much she loved him. He said, this went on my whole life while I was at home. He said, I grew up thinking all women were like this. And he said, then I got married. And I found out my dad had a very unique woman. Do y'all understand? Now, if every woman took care of her husband like that woman took care of her husband, you think that woman had a happy husband? Oh, he would have killed for her. I guarantee. But ladies, stop and think. According to the scripture, what did he make you for? For the man. He made you to take care of the man. Was this woman taking care of her man? Oh my goodness. I mean, she was taking care of him every way. And he said, you know, Thurman, until I was grown, 19 or 20 years old, when he finally left home, said, that's the way my stepmother treated my dad. Said she was the most wonderful. Said I never heard her fuss at my dad. She was always gentle and quiet and just loved him. And said she showed it. And said my dad loved it. Said he just eat it up. And I thought, I read that book years ago, How to Be the Wife of a Happy Husband. In fact, the lady where I bought that book asked me a question. Said, sir, why would you want to buy a book that says how to be the wife of a happy husband? I said, well, because I am a husband, and I'm going to find out if this woman knows what she's talking about. Because I know what it takes to make me happy. Is that right? As a man, you know what it takes to make you happy. If you've got a woman that's meeting your needs everywhere and she realizes she's made for you and her job is to take care of you, that's her job on this earth. And the better job she does, what do you think God was like in this whole thing with her? You think God was pleased with this woman? Oh yeah, I don't even know if this woman was a Christian, but I can tell you for sure the Lord was pleased with this woman because she was taking care of a man, her husband. And I mean, she was treating him like a king all the time. Of course, you know, years ago when I had to go to the Vietnam War, I also spent a year or so in Japan. The Japanese women, 40, 50 years ago, whenever that was, they used to take care of their man like that. I mean, all of them did that. Everyone I saw, those little Japanese girls, you know, they have their little, the kimono and all that stuff and their little shoes, you know, and they walk like this, you know. But boy, I mean, they was taking care of that man, you know, whatever he needed, man, they're over there. I just got so tickled at them, but I thought, I wonder where these girls learned that. I need to take one of these back home and teach some women at home how to do this. Because I never saw that at home. I mean, my mother was a good woman, and she really took care of all of us, and she took good care of Dad, and she was a really good, loving, sweet mom and wife and all that stuff. In fact, the one thing my mother told me, and I think that she missed it, she said, "Son, when you do get married, tell your wife often that you love her." Because I don't think my dad did that enough. But I don't think my mother forced it enough. If you know what I mean? In other words, if you are the wife, if you want your husband to tell you he loves you, you need to do something really nice for him and then come over and bring him something sweet, you know, and pat him on the shoulder and kiss him a couple of times, say, "Hi, honey, I really love you." If you really want him to return that, you need to do that, right?
Absolutely.
And see, my mother didn't do that either. You know, she would not go in and what I call kind of push things, you know, to get people to tell you love you. You know, if you want to be loved, you're going to reap what you sow. Is that right? If you want to be told that you're sweet and you're lovable and everything, then be that kind of person. It's kind of hard to do. Like I said a while ago, walking and living in the rules of marriage, we get kind of set in our way and we don't do it like God says. And so by not doing it God's way, we suffer the consequences. But when this man told me the other day about how his stepmother, he just went on and on. I wish I could remember everything he said. But I was so awestruck after a few minutes, thinking, my goodness. I thought, this woman is awesome. I got a good one, but she ain't quite that good. You know, she's really good. You know, I mean, she really is a good girl. Now, don't get me wrong. I have never met that woman that constantly loves all over her husband like that. Now, like I say, she's pretty good. But maybe I need to learn something to be a little better too, you see. So, is that true?
Yes.
Oh, Sharon's over here telling me I'm on dangerous ground. I see. Oh, my goodness. You better pay attention. You're on dangerous grounds. Oh, she wasn't saved? Okay, Cheryl was there with me in that meeting. Now stop and think. That throws something else into this. If neither of them know the love of Christ and they can love each other like that, what should we be like as sons and daughters of the Most High God? I mean, that really says something, doesn't it? I didn't remember that, but Cheryl was there in the meeting with me when we was talking to these people. And she says that neither the daddy, the man, or the wife were neither one saved. That really speaks to me. That if a man and woman that does not have the love of God in their heart, like every one of us in this room has, and that man and woman can be that far ahead of us, we've done something wrong. We really need to work on our love walk. Do y'all agree with me? Now, we really need to work on our love walk. Wow, it's something. So a woman should wear a covering on her head as a sign of authority because the angels are watching. Are you afraid of an angel? Okay, you should not be. I want to flip from right here where we are. We'll retain this position, but I want to go back to Acts 12, 22 and 23, I believe it is. Let's go see if I'm in the right place. The people gave him a great ovation, shouting, "It is the voice of a God, not of a man." Now, this is King Herod. And Herod had a speech he just made to the people. He was not too happy, so they sent a group of people down, and he made this speech. After he made this speech, the people gave him a great ovation, shouting, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And it says, instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died and eaten by worms instantly before their very eyes. If you're not a believer, are angels dangerous critters to deal with? They can kill you, can't they? Aren't we glad we're children of God? Because they don't hurt us, because we're children of the Most High God. But we should learn a lesson from this too. If somebody makes a speech and he really does it good, we should give who the glory?
God.
Give God the glory. That's right. We always give God the glory. Can God even be speaking out of Herod's mouth? Sure he can. You know, God can be using a man that's lost and speaking a message out of his mouth to tell the people what he wants to do. And since it was such an awesome speech and all the people just stand up and gave him a standing ovation, and somebody made the statement, "This is not the voice of a man. This is the voice of God." Herod should have said, "Yes, I give glory to God for the speech he gave." He'd have been okay, wouldn't he? But instead, can you just see him? "Oh, look at me. I'm somebody." And what happened? The angel instantly struck him with sickness and the worms eat him. Can you imagine that? What can God do? He can do anything he wants to do. And I guarantee you don't want to tick him off, do you? I mean, I know he's very patient and gentle and everything with us, his children. But you know, I've learned that if we go too far, I mean, in this husband-wife thing, like he's saying, he will put up only with so much nonsense. And then either the husband or the wife or both of you will get a switching from the Lord. Hopefully he don't kill you, but he'll strike you. And you know, most people don't believe that. You know, most people do not believe that we can say we're a Christian, we can do anything we want to do, and God will not discipline us or our children. When I think about this marriage rules, I think about the number of people that I've run into in my life firsthand that have had an autistic child, or a Down syndrome child, or a mentally retarded child. And without exception, every time I find one of these situations, when I start researching the life of the mother, there is some kind of rebellion or some kind of a sin that does not fit the criteria God said she was made for. She's either living in rebellion, she either got pregnant out of wedlock, she did something, she did not keep the rules, and it wound up that her child and her will pay the consequences in most people's life forever. Just think, Dave did not know these principles and he suffered for 40 years with his sickness, did he not? But after Dave come to us and I showed him his sin, that it was that generational curse, and he could break that now. He was a grown man and we could stand by faith. As we stood by faith for 20 months, what happened to Dave's sickness? It left and he got well. Now then, if we run into a person, a man, a woman, or whoever, and let's say you have an autistic child. In fact, I was talking to two people the other day, and they had two children, and both of the children were very autistic. And I said, "Were both your children born like this?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "Well, how long y'all been married?" They said, "Well, we lived together for 8 years and had both children, and then we got married." I said, "Both children were born while you were just living together?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." And I said, does that ring a bell that if you are involved in sexual immorality, God says, "I will judge you and your children"? Amen. Yes. And do you see the correlation here? Now then, if that couple would come to Jesus and say, "Lord, we're so sorry for what we did. We repent of our sins. Now we're going to get in the Word. We're going to really learn the Word. And we're going to take these children somewhere where there's a man of God that believes your principles, and we're going to have him pray for them, and we're going to expect our children to become normal. Would the children become normal?
Yes.
Yes, they will. I mean, right here. We got one right here. This one right here, sitting on the front row. That's exactly this little 8-year-old. I guess she's 8 years old. When she was born, she couldn't walk. The mother and the father of the child, because the doctor said she'll never walk, they didn't want her. So they gave her away. Can you imagine that? They don't want the child. But they have no idea. It's their sin that made this child like this. But this couple, praise God, they'd been coming here for a while and then knew that we knew how to break these curses. So they got the little child. They wanted a little girl. So they said, we'll take her. They adopted her. And now they become the parents. They brought her here. We broke the curse over her. We kicked out the demons. And that little girl just started, within a month, started walk crawling. And today she's 8 years old. You'd never know she ever was sick. Is God merciful?
Yes.
Does he put up with our nonsense?
No,
he does not. See, it makes no difference what it is. And we didn't know what the curse was. We just know that the mother and daddy had been living in sin, and this little girl was conceived out of wedlock, and we knew that she was afflicted because the doctor said she'd never walk. But we know a God that forgives. We know a God that when you step into that faith world, it don't make any difference what it is. He can heal it. And he did. And so she runs and plays around here all the time. Just a beautiful little girl. Now then, you know, isn't that amazing that God has provided a way out for all of us, regardless of what we have? Like David said so many times, that if you've lived in sin until you're way on up in years, and your child has already grown up to 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 years of age, then to try to claim that redemption from the curse, break the curse, and kick out the spirits, and get them to a place of knowledge where they can get that child healed, it's hard to do. I mean, I don't want to sound derogatory to none of us here, but, you know, for the first 50 years of my life, I almost had zero faith. But yet, I was in the Bible every day. I was reading the book every day. But these principles now that I teach you that seem so simple to me, they are so foreign to the average church. You know that? I mean, if you want to get thrown out, just go somewhere to a church and start teaching them the things you learned in this church. They will literally throw you out. The other day, Dave and I flew over to East Texas to go to a funeral of a cousin of mine, first cousin, and several of my first cousins were there. One of my good friends was one of my cousins. She's 4 or 5 years older than I am, 77 or 8 or 9 or whatever. But anyway, she's a Christian. She's been a Christian all of her life. She's known me as a Christian all of her life. I mean, we've visited at family reunions every year. We've never had any kind of problems at all. She knows all I do is talk about Jesus, just like all the rest of them. They know that that's what Thurman's going to talk to you about. He don't talk about the weather or how much rain we didn't get. He's going to talk to you about Jesus. So if you want to talk about Jesus, go talk to Thurman. If you don't, talk to somebody else, you know. But anyway, she asked me a question. What kind of good things is happening in your life? I said, well, Jesus is doing all kinds of good things. She said, like what? I said, well, one, I said, right here, this guy right here, Dave. I said, I prayed for him, and we stood on the Word of God, and he'd been sick for 40 years, and he got healed. And Dave held his hand and said, that's me, praise God. Okay, so I said, oh, there's Patty. That's the wife of the man that got killed. I said, I got to talk to Patty. So I walked over to talk to her. And as I walked off, my cousin, she looked at Dave and says, Dave, is Thurman telling us the truth? Now, it would have been all right if it had been somebody I didn't know. But if it's my own family. You know, I mean, I went to a family reunion at Cross Plains one year, and one of my first cousins that was there, she asked me the same question, how's things going? I said, oh, things are just going great. I said, Jesus is doing awesome things. She said, like what? I said, man, I prayed for a man with cancer, got healed, and I prayed for a child that had this sickness, and he got healed. And she said, Thurman, she said, you know, wait a minute, Thurman. She said, I guess the next thing you're going to tell me is you got some property on the moon you want to sell. I said, no, I'm telling you the truth. She said, don't tell me that nonsense. You know, she said, you know, we're Christians. We go to church. I said, aren't y'all Baptist or Church of Christ? We go to church every Sunday. I said, do you not see a single healing or a miracle or nothing in your church? Thurman, you get real. No, ain't no such thing happens. That don't happen no more. Here I am seeing it every day, and they ain't seen it never. So something's wrong with this picture, right? Well, you know what the picture may be? The picture may be in the rules of marriage. They may not be being subject to the rules. Because the rule says, if you don't obey me, I'll not answer your prayer. That's both for the husband and the wife. And he says here, when we go, let's go back to where we were there. And man was not made for woman, for woman's benefit, but woman was made for man. So if I look at that right there, you girls that are married, only the ones that are married, you were married to take care, and you were made to take care of that man. Is that right? Yeah. Now, whether he goes to church with you, regardless of what it is, your job is to take care of him, right? Yeah. I mean, be sweet and loving and kind. And I even have women tell me, so my husband does not want me to go to church. I said, then stay at home with him. Do not disobey him. You know, God made you to take care of him. So if he does not want you to go to church, then stay at home. Don't go to church. You just praise and worship the Lord. You take care of that man, and you treat him with love and respect. And I said, by no words, you'll win him over without saying a thing. And that's the hardest thing in the world for us to do, is to believe we can win somebody without words. But that's what God said the woman could do. He says, and so a woman should wear a covering on her head as a sign of authority because the angels are watching. Verse 11 and 12. But in relationship among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men, and men are not independent of women. For although the first woman came from man, all men have been born from woman ever since, and everything comes from God. What do you think about this? Is it right for a woman to pray to God in public without covering her head? Isn't it obvious that it's disgraceful for a man to have long hair? I don't know what it is about that, but every time I see a man that has long hair, I mean flowing long hair, I mean, I think about, once in a while I'll be watching the news and we'll get over into the sports just a little bit. I'm not a sports person at all, but I'll see some Dallas Cowboy that's got twisted up hair or whatever that's hanging down, way down below his helmet. I thought, you know, I don't believe that man could possibly be a Christian. But I look at Christian television once in a while and I see somebody on there that's well known, that's on TBN every day, and he's got hair like that. I'm assuming he's a Christian. So if he's a Christian and he's got hair way down to here on his back, and what does he do with this? You see what I'm talking about? Did God make a set of rules? Who's got to conform to those? You had the best answer I've ever heard, Frank.
It'd be us.
It'd be us, right? He ain't going to change them for me and you, is he?
No.
When he says a man should not have long hair, that's just like me. Mine was getting pretty lengthy. Yesterday morning, I guess it was, I got to put my hand back there, and I thought, wow, that sure is a bunch of fluffy stuff under the back there. I guess I better run down to the barbershop. So I went down to the barbershop and got it all cut off. You know, so now I got short hair again. But the longest place it was back there, probably about that long, you know, so that wasn't too bad. But said, isn't it obvious that it's disgraceful for a man to have long hair? Let's go to the next verse, 15 and 16. And isn't it obvious that long hair is a woman's pride and joy? Now, is that true?
Yes.
See, I love my wife's long hair. It's her covering. She can pray with long hair, and it's her covering. And isn't it obvious that long hair is a woman's pride and joy, for it has been given to her as a covering? So you women that have long hair, is it your covering? Yes, your hair is your covering. So you can pray and God will honor your prayer. But if someone wants to argue about this, all I can say is that we have no other customs than this, and all the churches of God feel the same way about it. So is it going to do any good to argue about this? No, not at all. If you happen to be a woman and you got long hair, is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. If you happen to be a woman and you got your hair cut real, real short, is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. Now then, I think if a woman has really short hair, if she has, and I see some like that. I see some that don't have hair no longer than this, you know, this little bitty short hair. And I think those women with that little bitty short hair, if they're going to pray and talk to God in public, they should have a covering, a headscarf or something over their head to cover their head. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
I mean, would that seem to cover what he's talking about here?
Yeah.
But now if you've got long, beautiful, flowing hair, you don't need a covering because your hair is your covering. It covers you up real well. But now then, the guy, if he's got long, long hair, according to Scripture, he should not have it, right? He should get it cut off. You know, so that's between him and the Lord, not me. I know God's using some men mightily that got long hair. So, but, you know, the thing about it is, if I read something in the Word that says I should do something a certain way, I want to try to do it like it says. Is that right, Mary? I want to try to please the King, right? Does that mean that sometimes I might still be wrong? Sure, I could be. Is it possible that all of us could be wrong? And the other day we was trying to do something on a building down there, and I told the guys, I said, well, I'll have to say one thing. There's your way and my way and then the right way. But I said, since I'm paying for it, we're going to do it my way. You see what I mean? That's kind of the way I've always run my life. And when I was working for the workforce out there, if my boss told me he wanted me to pick up all these rocks over here and throw them over that fence and put them over there, I throwed them all over there. When I got over there, he said, now, Thurman, I want you to go over and pick those up and throw them back over. I went over there and throwed them back over. He told me one day, he said, you know, I've never met a man in my life that any time I call him and tell him what I want done, he just says, yes, sir, and goes and gets it done. But he said, you are that man. I said, well, boss, I'm working for you. And I said, you guys sign my paycheck every couple of weeks. And so as long as y'all keep giving me a paycheck and I work for y'all, I just do what y'all tell me. Amen. Is that kind of the way it ought to be? Amen. I mean, but now who's paying the bill for Jesus? He's already paid it. He's already bought you and me, right, Kennard?
Yes, we have.
We're bought and paid for, and he paid for us with a very expensive price. And so should we honor what he tells us to do?
Always.
And if we do, we stay out of trouble. Then he says here, after he tells us that what we should do about our hair and who is the head. Now, first of all, let's go back and let's start right back up in verse 1 again, or verse 3 actually, and look at this one more time. 1 Corinthians 11, start with verse 3, I think it is. But there's one thing I want you to know. A man is responsible to Christ. Now, each one of you guys, who are you responsible to?
Christ.
Directly to the Lord. That's who we are responsible to. But then it says that a man is responsible to Christ and a woman is responsible to her husband. Now, see, the woman is off the hook when it comes to Jesus. That's why I've told women so many times, if you can make your husband happy, you're off the hook. You don't have to worry about it. You know, I mean, even if the husband is the line of authority and the wife is underneath him, then the wife, technically speaking, when she must submit to her husband in everything, is that what the Scripture says? The wife must submit to her husband in everything. Then all she's got to do is come to him and tell her what she wants him to pray for, and he goes directly to the Father in the name of Jesus, and he gets her. In fact, this morning Cheryl woke me up. Is your right ankle quit hurting? Okay, I thought I heard her right. This morning she woke up and sometime in the early hour, and she said, honey, you've got to pray for my right ankle. So I tried to reach down under the cover somewhere as she moved her foot around to try to, before I could lay my hand on her right ankle. And I thanked the Lord for forgiving both of us for whatever we might have done wrong. And I asked him to be merciful and take away all the pain in my wife's ankle so she could sleep. And I praised him and thanked him for doing it. Now then, she followed the right procedure. She came to her head, or her line of authority, which is me. And then I have to be responsible to Christ, to God the Father through Christ. And when I pray that prayer of faith, she's off the hook. All she's got to do is have faith that I will pray for her. I got to have faith through the King that he'll do what he said in his word. And when I pray, then a little later she told me, she said, honey, I said, how's your ankle? Sometime this morning after she got up, she said, oh, it don't hurt at all. It feels real good. And I love it when God does that, don't you? I love it when he shows up. He is in authority and he has a way of doing things, and we need to do it the way he says do it. So if a man is responsible to Christ, a woman is responsible to her husband, and Christ is responsible to God, then we need to get that line of authority down, and we need to walk in that, and we need to obey the King and do what he says, because the head is Christ. And then the next head is you. Now, let me read that to you in the King James. It's a little bit, the NLT makes that so simple. But let me show you what the King James says there on that, on verse 3. And but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now then, verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now, if you're not careful when you read that, you fail to realize there's two different sources of authority here. Both of them says, having his head covered dishonors his head. They think about have his head uncovered, dishonors his head. But this is the head that he covers, but the other head he's talking about is who?
Christ.
That's exactly right. And that's where you have to be careful. When you read that in the King James, if you don't understand who the head is, you've got too many heads in there. And that's kind of confusing, isn't it, Frank? Yeah, it really is easy to be confused like this. But the every man praying and prophesying, having his head right here, this thing, covered, dishonors his head, which is Christ. And that's what he's talking about. But the NLT was very clear on that, and it made it very simple to see. And so we need to realize that there is a line of authority. Now then, on this line of authority and the wife being in submission to the husband, anytime you take a family that the husband maybe is not a very strong spiritual leader. Well, if he's not a real strong spiritual leader, if he happens to be married to one and she is a strong spiritual leader, guess who's going to take the reins and run the show? She's going to. She's going to do that. When she does that, she's in rebellion, she's in disobedience, and all kinds of evil will come into her house. And you don't want that. You know, I mean, men and women, we have to learn and have to understand that God's the one made the rules for marriage. Is that right? Amen. I didn't make them. I have to obey them. You and me both have to obey. We're married, right, Frank? You're married to a beautiful woman. I'm married to a beautiful woman. And we have to learn we are in the spiritual position of authority in our home, right? That's right. We are. And our wives are to learn. They are to submit to us. So whenever we sit down and talk about something, I don't care who you are, if you're a married man and woman, when you sit down and talk about something, as you're talking about it, both of you can put all the input into the subject you want to. But whenever the final decision is made, who must make the final authority of the decision? The husband. And when he makes the final decision, he says, honey, this is the way we want to do this. If it's not like she wants, what is she supposed to do? She's supposed to go along with it. Because who is going to hold him responsible? Christ is going to hold him responsible for the decision he made. And if he didn't go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need wisdom how to do this, God's sitting over saying, you're going to blow this thing wide open. I mean, you know, you'd be better off if you listened to your wife. At least she's listening to me. You see what I mean? And so much of the time, when the man does mess up and things don't go right, then the woman will come back and say, I told you so. You should have listened to me. And boy, that's when she's in total rebellion. Total rebellion. She needs to not say those kind of things. She needs to learn to really, really be quiet in those things. Let's go to 1 Peter 3, 1 through 12, about these husband and wife things. And let's see in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 12. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. Do you ever win a battle by keeping your mouth shut? I mean, seriously. Is that what Jesus told us to do there? Is that what he told the wife to do? Without word, you're going to win this battle just by keeping your mouth shut. Isn't that something? I mean, most of us are people, and we don't believe that. I got to get the last word in. I'm going to get the last word in, even if it's, yes, dear. That's the way some people are. Is that right? Is that right, Jared? Is that kind of the way you said you were the other day with your first husband? Sharon with me was having a little bite to eat or something. She said something about her first husband. She said, man, she just held it out. The cow eat the cabbage. You know, but see, she didn't know these principles back in those days, did you, Sharon? I got so tickled because none of us know these things. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, and if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Boy, your gentleness. Wow, let's go to verse 3 and 4 and see what that says. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden, I'll use the woman, of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now then, that man that was talking to Cheryl and I the other day when he was telling about his stepmother, he was saying all kinds of things like this, how gentle and quiet and everything she was, how much she loved her husband. And I just thought, wow. As he told me that story, I said, wow, what a woman. You know, I mean, but is that what God designed her to do? Yes, that's exactly what God designed her to do. And very few ever learn the truth. But it let it be the hidden man of the heart. Because God says that which is in the sight of God is of great price. Now, do you want to be in the sight of God, ladies, as a wife? Do you want to be a woman that's after God's own heart? I would think that would be the best place in the world to be, don't you? Because if you're that quiet, gentle woman, just like Cheryl's told me many times, she found out right off the bat, you know, that she already knew it, that she couldn't change me. So she learned real quick that if she just goes to the Lord and ask Him to soften my heart, make me more like Jesus. Usually she said, within 10 minutes, God softens my heart and changes me, and then she gets whatever she wants. Not always. But I will have to say, when she's that quiet, gentle girl, she gets a whole lot more than she does if she comes against me. Y'all know what I mean? You're supposed to be gentle and quiet, right? And if you do that, God likes that, right? So if God likes what you're doing, who will move on your husband's heart? The Lord will. And it's got to mean you don't have a chance, do we? We don't have a chance. But let it be the hidden man of the heart that is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Verse 5 and 6. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God, they adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now then, I asked this question in a church we were teaching. I forget where it was, somewhere. I said, I read this scripture, and I said something about calling your husband Lord, and I heard some lady laugh. And I turned around and I says, Who just laughed about that? And some lady said, I did. I said, have you ever called your husband Lord? She said, absolutely not. She said, I never have and I never will. I said, you know, ma'am, I said, you know, I can tell right now that you're in rebellion without even going any further. I said, I can tell you there's devastating things in your home that's not happening the way God wants it. I said, there is every kind of witchcraft and rebellion. I said, I did not, without even knowing you, I bet your children are not walking in obedience to God's word. I bet your children are not getting along like they should. I bet you the ones you have that are married are having problems. Do you know why I say that? Because she's not obeying the word of God. And if she's not obeying God's word, does the scripture say that if we do not obey God's word, it is as rebellion and witchcraft? Is that what it said, Kennard?
Yes.
So, does anybody know where that's found? 1 Samuel 15:23. Let's bring that up on the screen and we'll come back here. Look at 1 Samuel 15:23 and let's see what that says. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king. Now then, that wasn't just for Saul. That's a standard or a principle that works anywhere. Is that right, Gracie? That principle will work anywhere. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want stubbornness and rebellion to be in my house. Do you?
No.
I don't want to be known before God as a stubborn man or a rebellious man. If I was a woman, I wouldn't want to be a rebellious woman. Because if I was, all this witchcraft and everything is going to be in my house, and it's going to create all kinds of problems. And if you want your children to walk in obedience to God's word, you are going to have to be a living example of Jesus to your children. Okay, let's go back to where we were. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are as long as you do well. I will have to say that I've had some women, I've seen women, that when I teach this, that had never called your husband Lord, I've seen some women look over and call their husbands Lord right there in the service. Now, what does that tell me? There's a woman that wants to obey her king. She had never called her husband Lord, but she's willing to do this. And she don't care who's looking, because God is the one that really is looking. And you want to call, you want to be a sweet, gentle, loving wife. See, these rules for marriage, if you can lock on to these rules and obey these rules, if you have a spouse, it'll make a happy one. If you don't have one, it'll make it easier to find one. Because when you start obeying and getting in the right way with God, do you think God was going to send you a man or a wife either way if you're not walking in obedience to his word? No, I don't think God's going to send that person out. You may find that person, or you may find a person, but it may not be the right person. And I made that decision a long time ago after my first wife died. I thought, well, one thing about it, God, I have not been in the dating business for a long, long time. 41 years ago when I married that girl, I forgot how to date, so I just ain't going to date. I think it'd be better if I just let you bring me a woman if you want me to have one. If you don't want me to have one, just let me go on like I am. I have no problem. I can make it. But whatever you want to do. And so he brought me Cheryl. He brought me Grandma. Yeah, praise God. You know, so I thank the Lord for that. You know, she's been a good wife. She's been a good grandmother, and her and her granddaughter have had a couple of knockdown dragouts. Oh my goodness gracious, she's a good grandma. Making her a good grandma, but she's making my granddaughter a good granddaughter. She's teaching her how to behave. Oh, my goodness gracious. Caitlin didn't know granddaddy was going to talk about her like this, did she? Oh, my goodness gracious. I got tickled the other day. Sharon walked to mom and said, Pastor, I need your credit card. I said, what do you need my credit card for? See, I've learned to ask. She says, your granddaughter wants me to take her to the store and buy her a purse. I said, no, you tell my granddaughter she don't need a purse. She's got all the purses she needs. So I'm not buying that girl another purse. And so I would not give my card to Sharon. See, this little girl, she's learned how to maneuver us. Y'all know what I mean? She's learned. If y'all got grandchildren, you probably know what I mean. Your grandbabies do you the same way? If they don't, well, you're lucky. But praise the Lord. Okay, I've got two scriptures I want to touch on just a second. When you run into somebody in the church that's not married, and I run into them every week, that are living with someone out of wedlock, but yet they say they're a Christian, let me give you three different places to go to, and because the only way you're going to win these people over is show it to them in the Word. If a man is living with a girl, and I don't know how many times we've had this happen right here in the last few weeks. I mean, we've just had it, all kinds of people, several of them. It's like it almost every day we run into this, and people just don't understand. Well, yeah, we're going to church, but you're living together. Yes, we're living together, but we're going to get married next year. Yeah. Yeah, sure you are. Yeah, sure. So if you're going to get married next year, quit living together. Oh, no, we can't do that. Yes, you can. Because, you know, now, this is something that most people don't see. But if you warn people what God says in His Word, you need to stop living together out of wedlock. Because the marriage rules does not work outside of wedlock. So what scriptures do you use to confront people with? And you have to have it. And then most of the time they won't believe it. But let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. And let's look at these verses. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, when you say walk in love, now, let me express what I mean when I say walk in love. Some people, when I tell them about Jesus and what he says about living together out of wedlock, they say I'm condemning them and you need to walk in love. Well, let me tell you, folks, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't be telling you the truth.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
If I just say, well, hi, how are you doing? And if I just small talk, you know, don't mean to nothing. And then I walk off and don't say anything, don't tell them about Jesus. And that's what most of us do. I did that for years. I walk off, I don't talk to people about Jesus. I definitely don't confront their sin issue. But I used to do that, you know, all the time. I'd never talk to anybody about Jesus until I got filled with the Holy Ghost. After that, I mean, my whole life changed by talking to Jesus and the boldness that came upon me. I can understand what they said when the boldness came upon them and they witnessed to people. They told them the truth. Because if I was right here in this room and you were out there 10 feet out and two steps on the other side of you, there was a cliff that was 100 foot tall. And you just take one more step and you're going to step into 100 foot and you're going to fall to your death. If I didn't tell you, stop, hold it, don't move, you're in danger. If I don't tell you that, if I say, they said, what's wrong with you? I said, oh, that's okay. I thought I was. Oh, just go ahead and turn around and take a step.
Oh.
Now then, when they die, who's at fault? I am. God's going to, their blood is going to be on my hand. The scripture says, and God's going to hold me responsible for their blood. Is that right?
Yeah.
So now if I tell them, don't turn around, don't take another step backwards. There's a cliff 100 foot deep right behind you. And they say, oh, you're lying. No, please, no. And I'm trying, don't do it. And I'm doing everything I can. And they go ahead and walk off the back. And who's at fault? They are. It's not mine. I was doing everything I could. So if I'm telling you what God said, if you tell me your marriage rules, you're not married, so the marriage rules won't work. So if I tell you and walk in love, I'm walking in love, but it may not be the way you understand it to be love. Because you think I'm condemning you for what you're doing. But look what he says. But fornication, is that what people do when they live together without being married? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Now then, if God told us in his word right there in Ephesians 5:3, there is to be no sexual immorality among my children. If I talk to you and I say, hi, Kim. Hi, young lady. How are you doing? You say, well, my name's Kim. And I said, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. As you go to church? Yes. Are you married? Oh, yeah, I'm married. Okay. Then no problem, right? No problem whatsoever. But if I say, hi, are you a Christian? No, I don't believe in Jesus. Are you married? No. But I'm living with a guy. Now then, am I supposed to condemn you now for living with that guy? No, I'm not at all. I said, hey, she's of the world. She's not a believer in Jesus Christ. She's not a child of God. So I'm not going to jump in there and get in her face and say, what you're doing, woman, is sin. Because she don't know what sin is. She's lost. She don't know what sin is. What should my emphasis be on for this woman?
Salvation.
That's her getting her saved. I need to get her saved. And you know, that way I'll be just like the pastor, you know, that whenever that woman, I've told you, some of you have heard this story, but that woman that came up and said, you know, I love that salvation message today, and I would really love to make Jesus my Lord and Savior, but I couldn't do it because I'm a strip dancer and I love dancing. And the pastor, you know, she's lost. She loves being a sinner. You know, she loves dancing up there naked and them guys throwing them $100 bills on the platform. You know, and they love it. But she said, I know if I get saved, I can't do that. So I'm not going to get saved. He said, oh, yeah. He said, you can get saved and then you can do all the dancing you want to. She said, really? He said, sure. He said, you have freedom, total freedom in Christ. Said, you'll become a brand new person. No problem. She said, now, wait a minute. You're telling me I can come and accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and then I go back to my club and dance all I want to? He said, yeah, guarantee. You can dance all you want to. So she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She became a new creature. The next Sunday, she walked up to him. She says, you know, you're pretty slick. And he said, what do you mean? She said, I don't want to dance no more. She said, I got saved, and the Holy Spirit's been working. I don't want it. She said, I could never get on that platform and show my naked body to a bunch of men again. I don't want to do that. But she said, you were a smart man. She said, if you'd have told me that I could never dance again, she said, I'd have just walked out of here and I'd have never accepted Jesus and I'd have went back and I'd still be dancing in them bars. Isn't that something? See, that's why the Lord told us to be wise. Is that right? Who do you listen to get that kind of information? The Holy Spirit. That's right. When you're led by the Spirit of God, you know exactly what to say and how to deal with every circumstance. And so that woman come to know Jesus, and then after that, I mean, when you become the new creature, just think of you. You know, when you got saved, did things change in your life? Sure they did. In fact, everything did. It might not have been instantaneous, but over a period of time, it all changed. And the more you learn about the Word, and the more you learn what Jesus likes, the more you change. Is that right? Yeah, the further you get away from sin. So Ephesians 5:3 is a place you can tell them, if they are born again believers, as you're walking in love, and everybody will agree with walking in love, but some people will definitely not think you're walking in love whenever you're condemning someone. I mean, if they're living in sin, if they're a Christian, the Word of God will condemn them, right? It'll make their blood pressure rise. Ooh, it'll make them get hot. You know, I've seen it over and over, man, I'll tell you. Well, I've seen it lots of times. And he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. So if we are born again Christians and confessing to be Christians, how much sexual immorality is okay with God?
Zilch.
That's right, zilch. That's right, not any. That's exactly right. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Now these are two real close together. In the scriptures, Ephesians and Colossians, you just have to remember Ephesians is 5:3 and Colossians is 3:5. So you go to Colossians 3:5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, which are fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil covetousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now then, put that in the NLT. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. And don't be greedy for the good things of this life, for that is idolatry. So there's two sets of scriptures that'll tell you how much sin we're supposed to be involved in as children of God. And especially when it comes to sexual sin, how much are we supposed to be involved in?
Zero.
I mean, I don't know how to interpret that any other way, do you? So, see, if you try to confront someone and they come back at you like so many times they come back at me, well, I mean, who do you think you are? The scripture says, judge not lest you be judged. Well, I know Jesus did say that over in Matthew, but he was talking about just people, lost people of the world. I know when we get over into 1 Corinthians 5, he clearly tells us we are to judge the church. And we are even, did you know, if you weren't here last Sunday to hear this, in the church, if somebody is living a sexually immoral life and they refuse to change, you are to cast those people over into Satan's presence for destruction of the flesh. And you're not even supposed to sit down and have a meal with those people. But that's what it said. For those of you that were here last Sunday, was that what it said?
Amen.
So, how much are you supposed to eat with a fornicator that you've warned and they won't listen to you?
Zero.
You're not even to have a, you're not even to go if they invite you. But come over to me and my boyfriend's house tonight and we'll cook a steak for you. I'm sorry, I can't come. What do you mean? Well, I mean, the scriptures tells me that I'm not even supposed to sit down and have a meal with you. Who do you think you are to judge me? Is that what people say all the time? I said, the Word of God is judging you. The Word of God, I'm getting my instructions from the King.
Yes.
Is that right, Kennard? Yeah, if we get our instructions from the King, we can't go very wrong, can we? Not at all. So when we do what he says there, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you and have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Don't be greedy for the good things of this life, for that is idolatry. If you run into somebody and you're talking to them about Jesus and they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then it makes no difference what kind of sin they're involved in, does it? You have one goal, and that's to lead them to Jesus. Is that right?
Yeah.
And make sure that they know that Jesus has already forgiven their sins. He'll make it how many bad things they've done. but he will forgive them and he will cleanse them and wash them. But when we come into the kingdom of God, is everything supposed to change? Yes, we're supposed to become new creatures. Is that right? We're not supposed to still be sinners no more. We're supposed to walk holy. And just like so many people that have been living in sexual sin, and of course, this one story is so dramatic that I've told many of you have heard this story before, some of you several times, but it's a true story. And there was right here in Justin, a little couple. She was like 15. She wasn't very old at all. I don't think she was 16 yet. The boy was about 20, and they moved in together. Her daddy was in my Sunday school class. And he comes to me and says, Thurman, will you go tell my daughter, try to talk some sense into my daughter? She's moved in with a boy. I said, well, I'll be happy to go talk to her. So I went and talked to her. And when I sat down and talked with her and the boy, I first asked her, I said, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. I said, well, I was in the Baptist church the night you walked down the aisle. And so I just want to make sure that you really did believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I asked the young man, I said, young man, do you know Jesus? Blankety blank, no, I don't believe in none of that Christian junk. He was really full of bad words. And so I said, well, son, you need to know Jesus. He said, nope, don't want nothing to do with it. I said, young lady, you say you are a Christian. He says he's not a Christian. First of all, God said in his word, you're not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Is that what he said? Amen. And number two, he says, you're not to have anything to do with living with a man that you ain't married to. And I said, and you're not married to this boy. So I said, you are breaking God's rules and living in sin. I said, do you not know that God said in his word, if you defile your temple with sexual immorality, God will destroy your temple? She said, what are you talking about? I said, honey, let me make it simple. God will kill you. She said, no, that's not what that means. I said, it says in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, that if you defile your temple, God will destroy your temple. That's your body. I said, God will kill you. She said, Mr. Scrivener, you're crazy. God will forgive me. He loves me. Now, see, when people are living in sin, that's what they want you to they want to throw at you. God will forgive me. Yes, I'll agree. If you'll repent of your sin and turn from what you're doing, he will forgive you. But you can't get up this morning after having sex with some guy last night, and maybe you got pregnant last night. Maybe you've already had two or three children with this guy, and now you're going to say this morning, I'm going to wake up, God, forgive me. Okay, he ain't going to forgive you because he know you wasn't serious. He knows you're going back to bed with this guy again tonight. You were not serious about what you're doing, so you're not forgiven. And so this little girl, I went three times. This little girl had three children in 5 years. And I went three times and told her three times that she had to move out, that if she didn't, eventually God was going to kill her. I told her, I said, I don't know how long much time he's going to give you. I said, he's given you five. The last time I was there, I said, he's given you 5 years. I said, girl, you got to be on dangerous ground. She said, Mr. Scrivener, you're crazy. God would never hurt me, much less kill me. But if God says he will do that, do you think he really will? He really will. So anyway, she wouldn't listen to me at all. And the young boy, he said, he's out there in the left field. I mean, that's what's so sad, that so many people think that what I teach, I'm out in left field. You know, but Jesus said, 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will bring ruin upon anyone who ruins his temple. What does that mean to you? If God's going to ruin your temple, what does that mean? He's going to kill it. He's going to destroy it. Is that what he means? Of course that's what he means. I tried to tell her, it's what it means. No, that's not what that means. You're crazy. That doesn't mean, God's a loving, sweet God. He would never hurt me. He will forgive me. All I got to do is repent. But you got to change. And if you don't, I said, honey, he ain't going to forgive you. Well, 5 years and three babies later, I left there, come home. And a few days, I heard that this young lady, which now was about 21, maybe 22, somewhere along there, she went to bed that night with her new baby and her boyfriend. And the next morning, the boyfriend woke up and the baby woke up. But she'd had a massive heart attack in the middle of the night. She was stone, hard, cold, dead. And I hadn't been to the Justin Cemetery in a long time. But when I used to, right after Betty and Amanda died, I'd go over there and stand and look at their grave for a few minutes, and I'd look right over there, and there's that little girl's grave. I thought to myself, Honey, I warned you 3 times. You wouldn't listen. See, people don't believe God, do they? I mean, what does that say? Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will bring ruin upon anyone who ruins this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you Christians are that temple. Now then, would you say that God was merciful to her? I went 3 times, and she still would not listen. I mean, I even showed her the scripture, read it to her, showed it to her. Mr. Scrivener, you're crazy. That's not what it means. Well, how would you interpret that scripture? I mean, what would you, put that up there in the King James. Let's see what it says in the King James. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Is that pretty clear? But see, when you show it to people and they don't believe it, they just keep living in sin. And then they go to some other pastor, like this one girl who came out here one day, said, I went to my pastor and I told him I was living with a boy out of wedlock, and he said, it's okay, just ask God to forgive me every time I have sex. I said, your pastor gave you some rotten advice, girl. Yeah, gave you some rotten advice. That's not what the Bible says do, is it? It said abstain from how much sexual immorality? So what is it we don't understand about that? So, I mean, if you're armed with the word and you got something to go by, you can sit down and tell people, and still sometimes they will tell you you're crazy. Well, she told me I was crazy. I don't have any idea how many times she said that in the 5 years, the 3 times I went. But many times she told me, Mr. Scribner, if you think that I'm going to believe for a second that this sweet, loving, kind God would kill me for my sin, you got another thing coming. So I guess it was just a coincidence at 21 she died with a heart attack. No, you think she might have been judged by God? I know that, don't you, Miss Jackie? It was her sin that cost her her life. Does the Word of God say sin brings forth death? Now then, when we go back to the marriage rules, if we read all the marriage rules and we realize who is in authority in the home, or who's supposed to be in authority in the home, and who is the final authority in the home? God holds the husband responsible for the home. He takes you girls off the hook. You tell your husband whatever you think. You listen to him. You tell him. And then after it's done, and probably if you want to get your input, it'd probably be better if you prayed first. Pray first, right? He's easier to talk to after God's worked on him. You got that, did you, Sharon? Mine's already learned it, see? She always talks to the Lord about me first, then she comes talk to me. But that's the way it works. But for whatever decision is to be made, the final decision belongs to the man. And then after that, God's going to hold me responsible for everything in that home. You know, so is there a line of authority? Yes. And is it God the Father, Jesus Christ, the man, the woman, and the children? That's the way it is. And if we'll learn those rules, and like I say, ladies, the most important word that you can remember, especially if you're having a confrontation with your man, is to be quiet. Is that right? Is that what the word says, ma'am? Is that what it said? But it's not easy to do, is it? I told you that these marriage rules wasn't easy. I told you they were tough. But you girls have got a real chore trying to obey what God told y'all to do. And so I have a real chore trying to obey what He told me to do. Do we all have a problem? Yes, we all have a problem. Is it going to be simple and easy? No. But we can do it, can't we, Frank? Because He told us. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, well, we're going to close with a word of prayer. And listen, we don't have anything happening this week, do we? Or next week, or no healing school, or nothing like that. We're all good for a while. We don't have a healing school till next 2 more weeks, I guess, for a healing school. Yeah, this is the last weekend in July. I mean, we're already in August. What is it, Thursday? We go into August, something like that? Wow. But anyway, if you don't know, all the media is free. Take anything you want. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. We do not take up an offering in our church. And if you want to be prayed for, Cheryl and I will be here at the front to pray for you. And Sharon, she's here. And I know Scott and Kim, they're up here at the front. They have Pay and Gracie and Mike, they're over here. So, and then, of course, Dave and Jeff, they're back there somewhere. So we'll have plenty of people to pray for you. Just remember, before you're prayed for, make sure that you repented of your sins and that you're going to believe the promises that we're going to stand on. Because isn't the promises of God awesome? He gave us a book completely full of these wonderful things. And in fact, you know what that reminds me of? I think about the promises of God. This morning I was meditating on dozens of promises of God. And I'm thinking, Lord, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I became the richest man in the world. I mean, y'all understand where I'm coming from? All the promises of God, which are always yes and amen, became mine, and I became the richest man in the world. I got every promise in the Word of God for everything I'll ever need to have this wonderful life, long life, everything. I don't even have to get old. I can just live. I mean, the book is full of promises. I said, Lord, why is it that nobody, I ain't never met a man, I never met him that believes all these promises. I don't care who we are. I said, it's kind of like me if I had $1 million in the bank. In fact, if somebody come in today and said, Thurman, here's your bank card. I went down to Justin State Bank, and I put you $1 million in there for you this last week. I look at him, I said, okay, thank you, sure. And he hands me a book, and it says, to Thurman Scrivener, $1 million, Justin State Bank. I said, wow, I wonder how he done such a good duplication job. You know, is that the way we think? You know, I mean, this can't be real. This is a scam. You know, but the guy told me, I put $1 million in there for you, and here you can start giving checks. And here's a checkbook even. You can start writing checks. I think, okay. So I fold it all up, and after he goes out the door, I flip it over in the trash thinking, well, who does he think I am? Because it sounds too good to be true. And usually when anything sounds too good to be true, guess what? That's not true. That's right. It's not true. And so we've been trained like that, and that's exactly what's happened to us in the Word of God. We have the entire Word of God with all these promises, and all we got to do is stand on them, right? Amen. And when we stand on them, by faith, does He always show up?
Always.
He always shows up. And here we are, the richest children on earth, with all these promises. And it's just like we just took the book and threw it in the trash as we walk. Am I telling you the truth? We have this book, and we won't hardly ever go to it. When we have a problem, we go to some kind of physical help or a doctor or whoever instead of going to the Word of God. Just like yesterday with Cheryl's air conditioner and Kathy's air conditioner. At 10 o'clock, I prayed. Next morning, her air conditioner was working great. Cheryl called me because her and Caitlin was on the way home, and it was hot. And so she didn't wait long. As soon as they got hot, she called, wanted me to pray. We prayed, and it wasn't a minute, was it, after we prayed, that the air conditioner went to working again. Now, what can we do when we stand on the promises of God? Nothing is impossible, right? Okay, and don't you tell me, oh, well, it was just a coincidence. I ain't believing that, not ever, ever. I've been with the Lord too long. You don't believe that even, do you, Miss Jackie? You know God answered prayer, don't you, girl? Yes, well, Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. We praise you and thank you for all these marriage rules that you've given us. And Lord, help us all to obey these marriage rules. Help us to be men and women of God. Lord, help us all. There'd probably be times when it would be good if all of us could learn to be quiet. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for helping us and blessing us and giving us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.